Well, I appreciate your prayers this morning. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that He's satisfied everything that my soul needs. And I don't have to keep looking to try to find it in a myriad of places and ways that the devil tries to promise and yet leaves emptiness in its wake. I'm thankful to have found that Jesus is everything that we need. I'd like to share with you burden, the thought the Lord has inspired on my heart this week. My desire is to be able to feed your souls this morning. The Lord administer unto us about a new and living way. I'd like to begin in the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Hebrews chapter 20, beginning in the 16th verse, says this is Hebrews 10 verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering of sin. Aren't you thankful, folks, that we don't have to live under the guilt and condemnation of sins once committed? That we don't have to hope that the Lord has forgotten it, or hope that somehow I can do enough to be able to pay for the things that I've done. But I'm so thankful for remission of sins. So thankful that the Lord erases and removes as far as the east is from the west our sins and transgressions that were many. It says then, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I'm thankful this morning for a new and a living way. And the Lord here laying out for us and illustrating the difference between an old and a dead way and a new and a living way. Mankind that was bound in their sins. We heard about in Sunday school this morning about the death that came with the transgression of God's law. With sin. Sin brings death. The scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is a spiritual death, when transgression is committed, there is a spiritual death that separates from the presence of God, from communion with the Lord, from being able to have this peace and this confidence and this assurance before the Lord. We're separated from Him because of transgression and sin, but we can draw nigh unto Him by a new and a living way, where our evil conscience, our guilt, our defilement is washed and made clean and white as the snow, and we can have confidence and assurance before the Lord. So I'd like for us to consider here for a little while this morning what this new and living way means unto us. There's a difference. There's a new way that's been made available unto us, and we won't perhaps go too much in depth about the old way. The old Testament system and dispensation that mankind for so many thousands of years was under. But I want us to consider a new way, in a living way. I'd like to turn now to the book of Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans 7, beginning in the 6th verse. Romans 7, verse 6. Well, starting in the 5th. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. You know, there is a godly sorrow, and there is a sorrow of the world that worketh death. Godly sorrow is a good thing. Guilt is when it is brought by the Lord, and it brings us to a place of an understanding of where I am before God. You know, that is a precious thing. To be able to have an awakening and an understanding of where I truly am before God. It's a blessing. For without getting to that place, we could all perish in deception, believing that I'm good enough and believing that I'm okay. But you know, the Lord doesn't want us to live in that state of condemnation. The Lord wants to bring us to the place that I understand I am not right before God. I am not clear before Him. My sins are ever before me, David said. I can't get away from it. I know, and I try to do something, and maybe I try to pray, and this comes up before me, the sin that I have committed, David was talking about. And he longed to be able to be cleansed and washed of that. There is a godly sorrow that is a necessary step to salvation. A godly repentance that involves the turning away from the old things that I walked in, and a walking in newness then of life. So that is a necessary step, but God's plan of salvation is not to leave us in a place of guilt. Not to leave us in a place where He said that's what the law brought us to. The law brought us to an understanding of where we were in before God in right and wrong. But there's a new and a living way then. That He said the law in and of itself wasn't wrong. People try to deal with a guilty conscience in so many ways, to try to drown it out and to try to ignore it and to try to not listen to it and fill their lives with many other things. The conscience isn't the problem. It's living under that state where the conscience is defiled. The conscience is to bring us to a place that I see and I understand and realize my need before God. But it's not to leave me there. There's a new way that the Lord has to bring us past that point of always going around knowing I'm a guilty sinner. Of always going around and knowing my awful condition before God. And to bring us to a newness of life in Him. So it talks about serving in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. This word oldness means, as we might expect, not recent, worn out, or antique. Some people are really into antiques. Spend their time going to antique malls and stores, and what is to one person garbage, to somebody else may be something very valuable to them. They can look at an antique and they see a charm in it, a value in it, and there are people that are willing to pay a lot of money for antiques. Whether it's a car or it's some utensil or some tool that was used many, many years ago, and if you can preserve that, people enjoy being able to look at an antique and being able to see and to think back of the way life used to be. If you ever walk into use this as an example, a Cracker Barrel, you'll see hanging up around the Cracker Barrel store all kinds of antiques. And it's for a purpose. There's a certain ambiance of the restaurant that they're wanting to create, as it's noted even by the name, the Cracker Barrel, that's to take you back in your mind to a simpler time and place, that maybe people in a small community would gather together in the little general store around the Cracker Barrel and have conversation and all of that. And the atmosphere of the restaurant is geared towards them. You see in the things that they sell in their little store there, it's things that you don't find many times in other stores. But it's things that maybe it was back in the 50s or the 60s that was the kind of candy or soda pop or whatever it was that you could find at that time. And they want to stir a sense of nostalgia in an individual or in a customer that comes through that door. Well, nostalgia by its nature, it's a wistful remembrance of things of the past. Perhaps even a yearning to be in that time again. You ever have what they call a deja vu? That there's something that triggers a memory in your mind of another time in the past that you've been in. Well, nostalgia is something like that. I just the other day opened a little bottle of soap. And it was the soap that I carried around with me in my little overnight bag to India. And there was something about the smell of that soap that it was like it carried me. I could remember the room. I could remember the place. I could remember the smells and the scenes and everything that was around. By just that remembrance, by that memory, it triggered something in my mind. Well, antiques are of some value in that sense, perhaps. I enjoy looking at pictures and things of the past and remembering it. But we're talking about here this morning spiritual things. And there is something better for us today than a nostalgic experience. There's something better for us than just a wistful longing for something in the past. Remembering the good old days of the way things used to be. Remembering times past, and maybe if somebody remembers their grandma or their grandpa or old brother or sister so-and-so that really had contact with the Lord. And I remember that, and we cherish those memories that we have of the ones that have gone before us. And it ought to be that way. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. Those that had power with God, I want to be able to have that same thing. I want to be able to have the experience and the testimony of those who went before me. But you know, the Lord does not want us in our experience that our experience be like an antique mall. The Lord doesn't want it to be that when we come together even, all we have to look at are things of many, many years ago. That is just something that we kind of blow the dust off and we remember. Oh, do you remember when? Do you remember back in another day, in another time, in another Reformation? You know, the Lord doesn't want us to serve in oldness. The Lord has for us a new and living way. Not in the oldness of the letter. Not in just reliving the memories of the past. Not just in wistful longing for the way things used to be. Scripture warns us, in fact, about saying and inquiring what is the cause that the former days are better than these. There's a caution in that. It's not to say that we're to disregard the things of the past. Quite contrary, I believe the Lord has given us, the Scripture says, those things which were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we can have hope through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Those things that we don't have to reinvent the wheel in our generation. There's value to the things that have gone before us. But my challenge to us this morning is the Lord has a new and a living way that is not diminished in power or in reality for us in 2021. The Lord wouldn't have us to just sit back and admire the antiques of the past, but that we have an experience that is current and alive and up to date with the Lord, that is real and alive and working for us today. It's not seized up in rust because of the years of antiquity that have gone by, but it is a new and a living and a current way. Folks, salvation works. The blood of Christ has not lost its power. The experience of those that have gone before us can be the experience of us today. We don't have to just sit back and say, I wish we lived in the 1880s. Folks, it is still available for us today. The Lord is still on His throne for us today. He still has power. He still has a holy life for us to live today in 2021. Let's open up the windows like Daniel did whenever persecution was facing him. I want to live it out in the time that we're living in today. I'd like to look at the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter. Numbers chapter 21, and I want to recall an experience, the journey of the children of Israel. beginning with the fourth verse. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Therefore the Lord came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. So Moses did that. He made the serpent out of brass, and he set it up on a pole, and it was as the Lord said, that everyone that looked up and set their eyes on that pole, whenever the serpents came, they didn't lose their lives. The serpent's venom lost its power. Well, this is a whole different message, but there is a beautiful picture in this that even Jesus himself referred to. Then he said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the mount, even so must I be lifted up. That serpent was in the form and image of the very thing that was causing the death. So Christ took on him the form of sin, who knew no sin, for us, who were being penalized by the sins we had brought upon ourselves, that there was a Redeemer lifted up on Calvary, that we still, 2,000-ish years later, can still look to Calvary, can still look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and might find redemption for our souls as they have throughout time, those who look unto Jesus. So we see the Lord made a way of escape. And this was the means of deliverance for the children of Israel that day. There were those that perished. But there were those who fixed their eyes upon the brass serpent and lived. So I want us to fast forward now a little while in time and look at 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. Second Kings 18, beginning in the third verse. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. According to all that David his father did, he removed the high places, brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Now wait a minute. The brazen serpent that Moses made so many years before that, they had apparently kept it and carried it with them throughout their travels as something that was sacred. Well, I believe surely that we too, if we recognized how the Lord had given us deliverance, and it was through this very means of the Lord, well, I think there'd be value in remembering what the Lord did for us there. How the Lord saved us. How the Lord delivered us in that place. So they took it with them. They carried it. They They took the remembrance of that thing with them throughout the generations that followed. So why was it that now in this setting, he's taking that brass serpent that was the means of their deliverance and breaking it in pieces? Well, the answer is given in the remainder of the verse. It says, "For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it." And he called it Nehushtan. They weren't worshiping the God that gave their deliverance. They were worshiping the form of what gave them their deliverance. The power wasn't in that brass. The power wasn't in that serpent that was on the pole. The power was in the God who said, "Put this up there." Their faith was not in that serpent. It was in obedience to God who said, "Look unto that serpent." But over the course of time, they lost sight of the God that gave them their deliverance. And they replaced their worship with the object. And I want us to get a hold of what this can mean to us. There is an oldness of letter and a newness of life. The Lord wants us to serve Him in newness of life. If we're not careful, we too, as the scripture warns in the last days, that there would be those that have a form of godliness, but what? They deny the power thereof. What we do is about more than religious form. It's about more than just observing a way of worship that a people in the past have observed. It's about more than dressing like a people in the past have dressed. That's not to diminish the value of what people before us have had. But it is to mean that we cannot replace the power with God. We cannot replace having contact with God Himself. Our faith being in Him and centered in Him. If we're not careful, we can begin to lose that direct contact that we individually and collectively have with the Lord, who is the source of our deliverance, and begin instead to hold on to the form, the outward observance of it, and not have the power of God and the working of His Spirit. Lord, help us not to be as those children of Israel, that they come down to a point in time that they're just remembering a form of something that at one time had a power that went with it. Folks, the things that we believe and hold are precious. And there is a power that goes with it when it's not our words and our beliefs and our teachings, but the Word of God. Lord, help us to have a hold of that power for ourselves in a new and a living way. I'd like to turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 and beginning with the 51st verse. Jesus saith unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." Jesus had, throughout this chapter, he had imparted to them a number of parables designed to help them understand the nature of the kingdom of God. It wasn't something that they understood very well at that time. And the Lord was trying by means that they could understand, by things that they could relate to understand the nature of the kingdom of God. So Jesus, on the heels of that, said, "Have you understood? You understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what these things mean?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then said he unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." You know, the Lord wanted for them to be able to have a hold of something that was more than what the Pharisees had a hold of, where they said, we are the children of Abraham. We have Abraham unto our father. We have the law. We have the prophets. And We have all of these things, and Jesus perhaps most directly saying unto them about the old law and the new law that he was bringing in, that those things are valuable unto you. I've not come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill it. I've not come to tear down those things, but I've come to give you the essence of what it's all about. Because if you just hold on to the form of an oldness of the letter, there's no power that goes with that. There's no life that that imparts to you. So I've come to give you the essence and the real meaning and the power behind it. You know, the Lord, in our experience with him, he wants us to have some old things. You know, the Lord wants us to hold on to the things of the past that he's done for us. Don't lose that. Don't let the enemy come and snatch that away from you. If the Lord has saved your soul, remember that. Hold on to what the Lord's done for you. You'll need it. You know, the stories and the testimonies that the Lord has given us collectively as a body, we have recorded through written testimony and book and tract, and the stories of those that have gone before us that have had power and faith with God. You know, the Lord wants us to hold that in great value, not to diminish and throw that away and say it's irrelevant, it's of the past. But you know, as householders that have custody of these things, that we're to be able to bring out in due time, to have something to draw from of what the Lord's done for me in the past. But what I want us to get a hold of here is that the Lord doesn't want us to only have things of the past. The Lord wants us to have an experience with him that is new and alive. That I can draw from, yes, from those things of the past. Thank the Lord for what he did for me. But I also need to be able to have some testimony that says, thank the Lord for what he did for me this week. Thank the Lord for what he's teaching me right now. Thank the Lord for what he's doing for me right now. That's at an individual level for each of us to say, Lord, help me to have something new and living within my heart and my experience with you. I don't want my experience to be an antique museum. I don't want it to be something I go by and I admire the things that once, that old car that once had a lot of power and that once was the joy of some young man that drove it. And yet now its paint is faded. The weather stripping is cracked. The engine maybe doesn't run any longer, and all that's left is just a distant memory of the glory that once was. That's not what our experience of salvation is to be. The remembrance of the way something once was. But the Lord wants us to have something that's fresh and alive and new each day. I think about that expression here of a householder in this manner as well. Those that garden know the value of putting things away and canning them to carry you through the winter to come. You're not going to have, well, especially in a time where we didn't have the logistics to be able to transport things from Florida or from southern areas that had fresh produce and get it to us the same day. The only way you're going to have, in that case, produce to eat throughout the winter season is if you've thought and prepared ahead and you've put it in jars and canned it and preserved it, set it on a shelf or in the cellar so that you can go and pull from that and enjoy that in a time when it's not available. But you know, there's something that you just can't beat about having fresh produce as well. And having something that you just picked from the garden and washed it off and you set it right there, it's one of the joys to me of summertime. You get some fresh new potatoes you've dug up and some fresh summer squash and salad and all those vegetables. You can just make a meal out of that. There's something about having it fresh. You know, in our experience, the Lord has something fresh for us as well. The Lord wants us to be able to pull from the shelf and have for the seasons when there's nothing. But the Lord also wants to be able to provide us something fresh. in our experience with Him. I just relate something that's very personal to me. In my experience and the Lord calling me to the ministry, I remember early on the first message the Lord gave me and burden to my heart. And I remember the best way I've known how to describe it, it's like conviction. It's like a heavy conviction that's resting on you, but without the guilt, without the condemnation. Instead, it comes with a sweetness. But there's this burning within your heart, your soul. And as the Lord's dealing with you about it and working with it, your heart's pounding and you feel, I don't know hardly how to describe it, but whenever the Lord dealt with me about giving, what He had been dealing with me about, and the Lord was faithful to this poor, trembling, scared, hardly more than a boy, that, Lord, I've never done anything like this. Lord, I don't know what to do. And I remember feeling the sweetness of the presence of the Lord. I remember feeling the sweetness of His Spirit. I remember just the assurance that it gave me. And I remember it was to no glory of my own. Quite contrary, sitting down saying, Lord, all I did was get up and open my mouth. And it feels like You did the rest. And I'm sitting down and, Lord, You did something with that. And I remember I had my little notes and the Lord blessed that to me. I'm going to hold on to that. Might be able to use it again. You know, the Lord began teaching me. It's not in this piece of paper. It's not in something the Lord did for you one time. This is a new and a living way. By the Holy Spirit that lives within us. That I don't have to rely on going back and blowing off a dusty piece of paper. Lord, I need something fresh and new. And the Lord proved Himself to be faithful over and over again. That I can give it to you at the time that you need it. I can give it to you fresh and I can give it to you new and alive. Folks, there's a better way than going to the bookcase and pulling down a book of sermons and say, well, let's see, what can I get today? There's a better way than opening up the Scriptures and it's just dead and no life to it. There is a new and a living way by the Spirit of God that wants to dwell within us. Then He said, I'll write My law in the tables of your heart and make it alive and make it new unto you. You know, the Lord is able to do that through His Word. The Lord is able to do that through the Holy Ghost-inspired songs of Zion. The Lord is able to make it new to us from day to day. In my trial that I'm going to face this week, no doubt, the Lord is able to make it new and alive unto us. The Lord is able to give me what I've perhaps had in the past. You ever read a Scripture and the Lord will open it up to you? I've read that over and over and I've never gotten that out of it. Folks, the Spirit of the Lord is, He's new and He's alive. The letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Thank God for a new and a living way that we can live by Him in newness of life. Well, let's turn to the book of John. We're not going to get through all of this, but we'd like to continue it, if the Lord wills, maybe this afternoon. Fourth chapter of John. The 10th verse. John 4:10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Oh, she's about to have imparted to her one of the most beautiful gospel messages ever preached. Jesus, what are you talking about? You have living water. Do you have a bucket to draw with here? How are you going to do this? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Notice what she's saying here. Our father Abraham, this is his well. Our father Abraham, though she was a Samaritan, they trace their roots back to Abraham. And we'll maybe get in a little more into the rest of this later. But she also further down, she's talking about, well, our fathers worship God in this place. But you people, or the Jews, say in this city is where you're supposed to worship the Lord. Well, which one is it? And the Lord is trying to teach her something here. It's not about the fact that your father Abraham was here one time and it sanctifies this well because this was your father's. I've got something new and living for you. I've got something better than that for you to give to you. That's living water. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. We are so geared as humankind to the things that I can see and touch and taste and experience with this body. Well, that's how we experience the world around us. But you know that has its limitations. I want us to realize this morning that there is something in the Lord that's even more real than the things I can touch. The things that I can taste and there is something in this salvation that is so real and so precious that Jesus was transitioning. He was teaching her. It's not about this well. It's not about a place that you can come unto. It's not about a mountain that you go to worship the Lord. I'm talking to you now about a new and a living way that you don't go to worship, but worship comes within you. That you don't go to a well and draw water. There's a well of water within you. That's a new and a living way. So she said, he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in an everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. Oh, I hope that's the cry of every one of our hearts. Folks, Jesus only has living water. The things that we experience, that we see, taste, touch, feel, again, they have their limitations. That's the flesh. I'll relate it this way. We've gone to the Grand Canyon and just been amazed at the scenery. And I come up to the brink of it and it literally takes my breath. Wow. Just the grandeur that's before. And it's just, but after a while of looking at it, well, I can't take it in. What more am I going to do to experience the Grand Canyon? Am I going to jump into it? I don't want to experience it that. But you understand how the eyes are limited. The things that you see are limited in how much you can experience it. After a while, you can stare at it for 12 hours. And after a while, though it's beautiful, it's just a hole in the ground. But you know, there's something that's better than what we can see and touch and taste. There's something that we can experience within our heart. Folks, it's a dimension that's even more real unto us than those things. We're not limited by, I'm going to have to continue later, but people can take our eyesight from us. We could lose, talk about coronavirus, you lose your sense of taste. What an awful symptom. We can be affected where we're not able to take in the things that we experience around us. But you know there's something in this new and living way that you can't take away. Yes. You could put my eyes out, I can still see it. You take away my hearing, I can still hear the Spirit of the Lord. I can still feel Him within my heart and my soul. And it's in that way that it's more real. It's more precious. It's more even tangible to my spirit to be able to experience this salvation. to be able to experience the things of God. And then we begin to realize as that unfolds to us that this salvation is so much more than about coming to a church building. That's valuable. But there's something so much more wonderful than that. There's something so much more wonderful than just coming along and mouthing the words of the song. Folks, you get it down inside of you. It lives within you. It's alive. It's real. And whenever no one else is around, it speaks to you. In the quiet hours of the night, when you're in your most difficult battles, folks, there's a song in the night that's not dependent on a piano player playing it for me. There's a song that wells up within my heart and my spirit that's touched by the Spirit of the Lord. Folks, those are things that you can't take away from us. You can't steal from us. You can't rob from the child of God that has this experience in a new and a living way down within my heart. You can steal from me. You can kill me, and I still got a hold of it. I still got it down in my soul. Victory in Jesus. Some water that I've tasted of that gives me life within. I don't have to go to a big outward show of a praise and worship service. I bring the praise and worship within my soul. I don't have to have something worked up of an emotion. The Spirit of the Lord in His quietness and gentleness comes along and He touches something in my heart. And I say, yes, Lord. And I praise and I worship the Lord and no one else is around. Folks, do you see a new and a living way? A better way than the oldness? A better way than the oldness of a form of a serpent? Then we can come and, folks, it's not that cross in and of itself. It's about what happened on that cross that is real within every one of our hearts. Remember whenever my mother-in-law was so sick. I was on her deathbed and the hospice chaplain came out. He was a very kind man, a gracious man, endeavoring to comfort her. But I remember some of the advice that he gave to us as the family and to her. Well, this was to us, Katrina and I. You know, she's getting close to the end. It's important for you to create a holy atmosphere around her. Take some religious symbols and pictures and put them in the room around her. Light some candles or have some incense. I don't remember all the things that he said. But you create about her a holy environment. Folks, there's a new and a living way. We don't create that holy environment anymore by the lighting of candles and the burning of incense and images that are around us. That's not the source of it. That's like that brass serpent that at one time, what it represented had power, but you can cheapen it by just worshiping the form of it. The Lord creates blessed quietness, the song says. Holy quietness. That sweet assurance within my soul. Folks, I don't have to have a picture hanging on the wall. I'm not against a picture on the wall, but I don't have to have that. I don't have to have a candle burning next to me to have something burn. I got something burning in my soul that doesn't rely on an outward form. It doesn't rely on some dead old antique mall type experience, but that the Lord in a new and a living way meets me and He walks with me throughout every journey, every step of the journey. Well, this living water is so much better than having some old stale runoff water. And the Lord talked about that, alluded to it in Jeremiah, the second chapter. He said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And instead of that, they've hewn themselves out cisterns. A cistern collects the runoff water. And it holds it there stagnant. It can collect, maybe bugs get into it and debris falls into it. It's water. But it's not like that pure, living, fresh, springing forth water that God said, that's what I am. That's what I have for you. But you've forsaken the essence. You've collected some of that water in this bowl, and you're content to just carry that bowl around you, not all around with you. Not only that, but it's got cracks in it. It's leaking out. I've got something better for you than that. Folks, the Lord has a better experience for us than carrying around an old bowl of some old leftover blessings from last year or something that the Lord did for me years ago, and I'm trying not to slosh it out. No, the Lord wants to refill it and refill it and refill it on a continual basis by a well of water that is within our spirit, springing up into everlasting life. Well, thinking back to those images, that holy environment, I want to remind you of a man that I spoke about a few weeks ago by the name of Francis Gamba. Under the time of the Roman Catholic Inquisition, the Lord had given him light and understanding of the real meaning of salvation. And he had taken a stand for the truth and the light that the Lord had given him. He wouldn't worship the relics, the things like that. And as he was taken to his place of execution, a monk, in offering his last rites unto him, he held up before him the crucifix. And this man said, "My mind is so full of the real merits and goodness of Christ, that I want not a piece of senseless stick to put me in mind of him." You see, he had something inside of him. And he said, "I don't need that. I don't need some outward. I don't need the antique. You can have it. I got him living down inside of me." That's so much better. Thank the Lord this morning for a new and a living way that he offers unto every one of us. Folks, this salvation is not dead. It's not stagnant. This way of this highway of holiness didn't die in the 1880s in the history books. It's still here today. This power with God is still available for us today, that we can have access to it by an assurance and a confidence through this new and living way that we can have, that we can come to service. I know we have seasons of life that every one of us go through. But I don't have to come to service always hoping that somebody else has something. Or always saying, "You know, that's kind of dead. You know, we can bring the life within us. We can bring the fire within us. So here's what the Lord is doing for me." And to be able to have that and share that. I'm so thankful this morning for a new and living way that the Lord has for us. You pray for me. Amen.